Welcome. You are now entering the Fluff House. Prepare for your installment of awesome. Be prepared for the brutally honest. And hear it from the people you trust. Why? Because life shouldn't be boring. Nine out of ten doctors agree. Furry Talk is awesome. Keep your chairs in an upright and locked position. We are preparing for takeoff. Keep all hands and keys inside the vehicle at all times.
Of Furry Talk or Fluff House, whatever you want to call it, really. We changed our name a couple times, but well, this is Zeph again, since I guess I did a good job last time, but and this is our crew.
Oh, it's me. Oh gosh. Hi, I'm Forward and I'm a dog.
We have
Trent, either way, you can say it.
Sorry. And we have Frag, our producer, here as well.
And we got...
I'm out here, average everyday fairy. Sorry, my brain is, like, gone.
Dre's not here right now. He's asleep.
So I'm here. Trent, the friendly Dragalupin.
Sai is AFK, so he might join later. If he joins later, that'll be awesome.
Yeah.
Because we miss him in our podcast.
Yeah.
We love him.
Like, if you guys can, like, give him some lovin's on FA, because he's really stressed right now, and he can use it. And as I said, I'm Zeph, and I is a bunny. But, and welcome to Furry Talk. Okay, well, pretty much we did our intro, and I got something important to say, is that we got an actual email address.
Yay.
Which is furrytalk@gmail.com. So anytime you really want to email us, you know, just shoot us an email, you know. We got a FA page, you can leave us notes there still, but, you know, it'd be cool to get emails too. But anyway, sorry if I'm a little off my game too. Yeah, what's up?
You think I can send a spam mail?
Don't send a spam mail. Because
spam mail full of love.
If you send us spam to eat, maybe it's something different. But if you send us spam mail, then we'll probably hate you forever. And don't try to send this email out, because if you do, we can hunt you down. But
I just thought of a supernatural quote. Never mind. Continue.
Oh God. Well, anyway, we're actually going to have Frag join us in some of the topics, and Trent's going to be narrating, so let's get on to topic one, constructive criticism of art. And Trent, would you like to narrate that?
Yes, I will. Frag says, on my recent music piece, a nice furry gave me constructive criticism on how to make my piece better. I want to leave it as a discussion to you people if you think there should be more, and also why don't you think more people offer it?
Okay, I guess we will talk about it now. Unless, Frag, do you have anything else to add to that? Okay. So I guess it's discussion phase.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Initiate discussion phase!
Oh, all right. I'll go first, if you guys don't mind. I think not many people offer it, because one, they're too lazy, and probably two, they think they're not good enough, like their art sucks compared to the other person, so they're not worthy or something to, you know, criticize an art or give them a little constructive criticism, which I don't think is true.
Okay, anybody else have anything else on it? Trent?
I myself, I'm kind of odd. I would like to receive constructive criticism, and like, cause like, I like to really, try to improve my art in that. But unfortunately, I'm not really one to give constructive criticism, cause I look at my sort of, I look at like my work and I see it like, it's not really all that good. And then when I look at somebody else's stuff and it is good and they're like, give me constructive criticism, I can't really give that to them, cause I just go like, this is better than mine. This is better than mine. So I really don't know what to comment and give you guys about it. Like, it's one of those sort of things. It's like, you're already better than me, and I don't even know how to make my own stuff better. So that's why I can't really give constructive criticism.
Melanie, you have anything to add?
I guess I kind of do. I gotta reread this a little bit. I do believe that actually should be given a lot more. I don't understand why people actually don't. It's kind of confusing to me. I've been receiving a couple from a dear friend who goes by Kiakufib, or however you pronounce that. It's really the only one who's actually become my friend just from criticism work, which is actually pretty helpful. I even got a quote for the kind of work that people put up. It should not matter how good the work is. It should matter just how fun the artist had doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done.
Well, my opinion on it is, unless Dre, you have something to add? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But, my opinion on it is that, you know, I myself personally don't think of myself as a good artist because I can improve a lot. And when I look at other people's art, especially when I ask people, like, give me constructive criticism, I'd rather say, I'm going to say this, and it's like instant explicit language warning, but, you know, that's my catchphrase, but there's a catchphrase I always use, and it's, this is shit. And pretty much, like, I would rather someone say, this is shit, into my art, and then tell me why it's shit, for me to fix it and, you know, get better at it, than to have people lie about it and say, oh, this is great art, you did a good job. And then I'm going to stick to that art style, you know. I'm like a person that if it works, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I would rather have somebody tell me that it sucks and you need to fix this, this, and this, than to have people tell me, oh, it's a good job and not fix it. You know, I would love to be a great artist. Like, some people have those art techniques where they somehow blend their lines, and I know how to do it, but their strokes are unbelievably smooth and thin, and it's like, I can't do it. And I've been doing Photoshop for like years.
Wow.
And I'm a freaking graphic artist for my career, and I don't know how to do that. And it's like, you can get all the art supplies in the world, but if you don't know how to do something, it's not worth it. But, you know, yeah, I'd like to have constructive criticism, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
But, okay, I guess we'll go on to, I don't know, Sprague, do you have anything else to add?
He's a shit. He's a shit.
That's a common review for a game, too,
my review. I just go on Neosteam.
He's a shit.
That's good.
What was it called? That's why I can't do a Let's Play. let's go on to Cy's Slap Word of the Week, which, I'm sorry, I got here late, so I don't know what it is.
Alright, so the Cy's Slap Word.
Why are you laughing?
Cy's Slap Word is dinner.
Dinner.
I wonder what's for dinner.
Gee,
I'm so hungry, I can eat an octopus. My boy. YouTube poops, oh god.
Oh god.
That is the most overused thing in freaking
years. The wild sniper is dying by laughter right now. He just said it, but yeah, the word of the week is dinner.
Oh boy, I like some dinner.
You ain't getting dinner. Slap it right back.
Because then, surgery.
It's like, you slap your mom right back, and she's like, that's it, no dinner, but I thought I wasn't getting it anyway. It's joking. It's like, where did you hear that from? Oh, furry talk. It's like, you listen to furry radio? It's like, yeah, I do. It's like, you're furry too? No, I just like it. I tried to get the 1 billionth iTunes hit, and it didn't work out, and some 71-year-old guy got it before me. You know that actually happened, right?
That did?
That happened today. The 1 millionth iPod, the iTunes store thing was sold this morning, I think, to some guy in Georgia that was like, he was 71 years old and downloaded a Johnny Cash song, and then Apple gave him like $1,000 gift.
Holy crap.
Seriously. Okay, well, anyway, back to topic.
Yeah.
Alright, topic two is still on Frag. How to start as an artist on FA. This sounds very interesting, actually.
It does.
This shit.
Doesn't really mean to name your dog shit.
You could always be like that guy off, you could always be like the kid off of the game Heart of Darkness. You could always name your dog Whiskey.
Well, that's not as bad as shit.
What about Schnapps?
I know, right?
I mean, like, Schnapps. It's like, what's your dog's name?
Shit. What's your dog's
name? It's like, oh yeah, this is shit.
Dog's name is dog.
Or it's like freaking 300, the movie 300. This is madness! Madness, this is shit!
Shit, roll over.
Okay.
Frag says, discussion. We are assuming you made an account and you're about to start posting art. Some questions are what type you should post and not to worry about not having a lot of watchers.
I forgot that. From now on, from these kind of topics about this, this is going to become a series topic, which goes further and further.
Mm-hmm.
And we still don't know what we're going to talk about for next week, but I'm pretty sure we'll work it out. So, keep a heads up. Anyway.
So is that a fragment, Josh, or do you have anything else you wanted to add to it? Or are we good on discussion?
Nope, just discussion.
Okay, please. It's just a discussion. Okay, who wants to go first?
Trenton does.
How did he hear me whisper? Jeez!
How did you hear him raise his hand?
Exactly. If it comes down to that, I'm trying to think about how to word it. When I first started off on FA, my stuff was like just stuff that I'd done for school assignments or what. What was it? Yeah, when I first joined FA, I had just submitted like art assignments and stuff. I myself do not draw very much. Like I very rarely draw any porn or anything. That's only on request. And a lot of people would think you draw porn, you'll get a lot of views, and that's very true. But are you really coming to FA for the views or just doing art for fun as a sort of pastime sort of thing? That's like what I think anyways on it. I don't go for the whole views or watchers or whatnot. I draw because I like to do it, so.
Well, I mean, yeah.
I probably didn't answer anything for that.
Well, you know, any type of discussion is great. And good news! Guess who's here? Sai is here! Oh god, it's awesome.
Oh god!
Oh, wait. Oh, there we go. Now I'm here. Hi.
Hey.
Yay. Hey, Sai.
Sai
Packer. Hello.
Hi. Yay, Sai's here. Yay. Yeah, well. And then Sai is going to impress us with his magical skill of being able to catch up with exactly what's going on at the exact moment he joins.
Okay, here goes. What's going on? How to start as an artist on FA. Oh, okay. Good topic. Very good topic.
We're doing a discussion phase, so do you have anything you want to say on it, Sai?
Well, I just came on to FA to draw whatever came to mind, really. When I first started, I picked up a pencil and started doodling, and I just draw what comes to mind, no matter what it is, and just post it up and see what people say to it. I don't know. I don't comment that often because I'm usually kind of busy around this time of year, but yeah. And yes, I'm a macro. I draw macro pictures, but it's what I do. And it's what I've been doing. It's what I will continue to do. So,
yeah. Well, that's like me, you know, basically. When I first joined FA, I was actually kind of pressured into it because, like, I knew some people that were furries. Like, I got into being a furry and all that stuff because my friends really told me about it, and I was like, wow, oh boy. And then I joined FA, and I was like, I don't know what to post. So I just drew a bunch of stuff and stuck it on there, and, you know, that's one way to become better as an artist is basically just posting whatever you can. There's some people who just post, like, things they doodle.
Yeah.
You know, anything you want. You know, it's just like a DeviantArt page. You post whatever you want, and people, like, see it, and they're like, oh, wow, it was awesome. Or, oh, it sucks.
Like picking up.
Oh. Yeah, oh boy, Goofy, he's awesome.
Oh, that's great, yeah.
Oh, you're holy. You're holy.
Oh, thank you. All right, sorry.
Okay. I haven't read, yes, forward.
Okay. So, still on the discussion, I'm guessing, right?
Yep.
All right. So, this discussion, I know one thing about what type of pictures you should never post, not never, but not post on profanity. Is those stereotypical like human? I'm assuming. I mean, once in a while, having a human picture is good and all, but yeah. Only posting that on Perfini is not.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that can get a lot of people raging over you and shooting fireballs through their eyes.
Well, you know, the only time that I think that you should really post a human picture is like. Basically, if you're doing, like, a meme-y thing, you know, like you're drawing you as a human. You're not posting an actual picture, but, you know, sometimes it's good to see the people behind the mask. But, you know, some doors are not meant to be opened. You know what I mean?
Okay,
I think it's just nice to have freedom, you know, when it comes to FA. You know, you should be allowed to post whatever you want to post without worrying about page views or watches. You're just doing it for fun. And then if somebody, you know, sees who you are and then, you know, likes your artwork and you can just, you know, meet, say hi, maybe, you know, you two will become friends and then you get a good friend through the, you know, through the art.
Exactly. Like, I think that's how a few of us, like, that's how a lot of my friends now I've met through Furfini. Through FA,
I met a lot of you guys through FA, really, you know?
Yeah.
And it's awesome, you know? Like, that shows that you can make great friends even on the net.
Exactly.
And, like, I talk to you guys a lot, and, you know, it's, like, being in a podcast like this is just like being, like, right next to the person talking, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, the closest we can get to being in a radio station.
I had met Melanie, used to have the Silver account. I met her on FA, and she first started commenting on a few of my pictures, and then we started talking more, and then that's when we became friends in that. And she was actually the one that introduced me to Skype, so.
Same here!
Okay, I've been neglecting this now. Frank had mentioned something above, and he said, for me, start posting what you want, don't make art for views, make art you want to make, make art you want to make, okay. I'm sorry, I was...
make art you want to make and views will follow.
Yes, thank you. I was not reading that right.
You were getting tongue twisted because of the commas missing, but you didn't do the break. That's what you were...
That's all right.
Make art you
it's
want.
It's like if you build it, they will come, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
If you post it, they will view. Okay, well...
So, next topic? Maybe?
Sure. You have anything else to add, anybody?
Melanie?
What?
Have anything to add?
I couldn't even hear what most of you had to say. Nothing's to my Skype constantly dropping because of my connection, so I'm pretty much at a loss. You guys can just continue on listening.
Sorry. If you want to add anything in, you'd be more than welcome to, Melanie.
Yeah.
The only thing I know what I can add is... I don't know. I'm sorry, I'm just at a loss.
That's okay.
I'm sorry.
No, it's not okay. Don't be sorry.
I was thinking, like, never mind. Sorry.
Well, let's get on to topic three, Forward's anime topic.
Yep, anime and cartoons topic. I noticed that I watched a lot of Cartoon Networks and Nickelodeon, and sometimes only a few actually good cartoons come out. And so far, American cartoons I actually accept as good cartoons. All the old school cartoons. And you know what? You probably know what I'm talking about because and Avatar, which I just actually saw this movie coming out. My girlfriend made me watch it. But I actually thought it was good. And also for animes, nowadays there's barely any kind of good animes nowadays too. It's all, you know, a foreign base. There's only one guy who's just a normal kid and suddenly he becomes bam, super, I don't know, loved by girls. Every girl wants to age something, for some reason. For some crazy damn reason. And those kind of animes, I really don't think should become an anime. There's all these other kind of stories that people should actually post, should actually make to become an anime, they'll become good. Do any of you guys have any kind of suggestion on what kind of book or manga or comic book should become an anime or cartoons?
Well, you know, like, when it comes to cartoons and stuff, you know, the only one I like is Flapjack because it's really original. But, really, when it comes to animes and stuff, I'm a big fan about One Piece. And, like, nobody likes it because of freaking 4Kids, and I think it's not fair. Because, you know, it didn't even get a chance. They killed it before it even got a chance. And it is the number one top-selling manga in Japan.
Sorry.
They have 10 movies. I mean, what series goes for 10 movies and is not successful?
Exactly. Like, Naruto, I think, had 4 so far.
It's almost over, too.
Exactly.
The manga's almost done, because there's not much left to do.
Exactly. Like, me and Dre, whenever we go out to the mall and stuff, we always stop by this one bookstore that actually has a whole single shelf devoted to, like, mangas and stuff. And in there was one that I haven't read it, but it interests me, and as soon as people find out the name of the title, some people I know in this podcast will clue in why I like it, but there's this one manga that I had seen called Black Butler.
And, oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and I had seen it, and, like, I guess I'm just weird. I just love the whole design style of the butler thing. It's, like, it's very nice and formal, and yet it could also be, like, a gothic sense, have a gothic side to it as well. But I just find that would definitely be something that I would want to read, or, yes, as Zeph said, goth. Why am I reading that? You can say that yourself. I'm an idiot.
Well, I didn't want to interrupt.
Okay. Yeah, Zeph. I keep saying it.
Basically, Black Butler is a mixture of gothic Lolita slash regalness. When it comes to it, it's, like, really elegant.
Exactly.
And it's mostly about vampires.
That's the sort of thing that I was interested in, is the whole, like, gothic, regal, that sort of thing. I really like those designs, and that would definitely be something I would want to look into for anime. I would like to get into it, whether it be a manga or even if I find out if they have an anime to it. Another one we had found out was, we found the manga first, then we found out they made an anime series, and it's still in the making. It's only on episode 20, maybe 21 now. And that was, I can't remember the first thing to it, the Japanese name, but, it was the Japanese name first, and then it was Letter B. The full English, the English translation of the Japanese is Letter B, but, It's good. It's a very depressing thing when you follow the storyline to it and you actually look at it. It may be an anime, and some people would think that, like, most animes are, like, happy in that, but this one is really depressing. It deals a lot with the whole aspect of death in that, and for me, being the person that I am, I actually find it, interesting because it's taking, like, like my perspective, positive, negative. It's taking, it's making something seem, like, depressing, yet it's also making it kind of happy in a sense as well. Yeah, S-Forward says, the main character does cry, like, for half the series. He's a real crybaby.
Yeah.
Do you know one manga that's, like, really, really good, in my opinion, but they royally screwed up on the anime? I would say Gantz.
Oh,
I want to see that.
That's a really good one.
Gantz is really good. If you like blood and gore and nudity and...
I do!
All that stuff.
But I do.
And it's really sci-fi-ish. Oh, God, Gantz is awesome.
Okay, Frag has suggested something. He says, I have an anime / manga to recommend. If you're a fan of comedy that is a bit on the more perverted side, I highly recommend... Blech. Yeah, I did read that right. I highly recommend you check out Detroit Metal City. It's about this guy who wants to sing Swedish pop, but who is actually the front man in a metal band.
Sorry if I don't...
There's actually a movie about it, too.
Sorry if I don't know, like, a lot of metal terms, but what's a front man?
I think... I'm just going on best guess. I think he's, like, the main singer, I guess.
Oh, guitar / singer. So he wants to sing Swedish pop, but he's a metal singer. It could happen. If I ever heard him sing in real life, I'd be like, this is shit!
He'll start singing that right back at you.
When it comes to animes, there's one anime that I know in particular that is extremely wacky and very funny and is one of my favorites of all time. It's called Excel Saga.
Excel Saga.
I've ever heard of it, and it's just, I don't know if I can really explain it. You'd have to see it for yourself, but the whole thing is just really, really random, but funny, and it has this, the storyline seems to change every day. It's really, really weird, but it's probably one of the funniest ones I've ever seen.
It's like Azumanga Daioh.
Yeah.
And Lucky Star, like the mangas
Lucky
for those mangas, the mangas for are just like one page spreads of just random stuff.
I'm gonna use the terminology that Dre has put for Lucky Star. It is the Seinfeld of anime.
Well, that's like what was it called? That's like what was that? Azumanga Daioh is a Seinfeld type thing too. It's just nothing but randomness.
Yeah,
and it's like nothing but moe.
Moe is the one I've never seen it, but I'm gonna guess Moe is the one with the orange hair with the weird two things on the top of her head that kind of looks like ears.
Moe is like the term for like super cute klutzy sort of thing.
Okay. I thought it was like a name of a character. Like I'm an idiot in some of these aspects. I've heard of it, I've never actually seen it, so but I want to. I've seen so much stuff of it.
Frag does agree that his Lucky Star is designed build of anime, because everyone he says like he knows like, says it is.
That must be the reason why I don't like it that much. I never find it that funny or fun to watch. Azumanga Daioh, on the other hand, was fun to watch. And so was Ichigo Mashimaro, if you guys know that. It's exactly the same. It's like, just a bunch of random stuff the time.
Well, that's like Great Teacher Onizuka and stuff.
That is great. Well, they're having a second series right now.
My favorite thing of Great Teacher Onizuka is the principal. I'm like, oh! Every episode his car gets destroyed.
Really, really rich.
Melanie, you have anything to add on animes?
I barely even a collector in anime. I barely even can watch anime. You're talking to someone who doesn't even have cable right now, so I'm pretty much useless in this whole entire thing.
Don't worry. If you have a computer, you have internet, you don't need cable.
I was about to say, don't worry, we lost our cable too. We're going to be losing our internet in a few days, if not tonight.
We shall be giving you a link source. We shall be giving you a link source, Melody.
Well, the only anime I actually even really gotten into, I gotta say, I know it sounds kind of weird and it didn't go far itself, as Chibi Vampire, but I was the one that kind of gave me the whole entire episode or season one thing.
I've heard of that a lot.
And then I started kind of collecting the books for Helsing. I only got two of them now. Yeah, I got two. That's not about it.
I want to see Helsing so bad.
That
could be a series I could get, because as like a lot of people know that might be watching me, maybe, I don't know. But yeah, me and Dre, we're gonna be losing our net soon. So we're stocking up on movies and TV series or whatever. Like, we're downloading whatever we can to watch in our, like, because TV, phone, and internet are going. So we're downloading.
I thought that Dre was going to handle that.
Yeah, unfortunately, some memory problems kicked in, and he kind of forgot to mail off something for his check. So we're not going to be able to pay the bill this Friday. So they already cut off the TV and the phone, so internet's going to be going crazy.
Yeah. Why does Dre forget everything?
I don't know. Sorry, we're kind of getting off topic now, but right. Yeah.
Trent, I'll have to talk to you after.
Yeah, anime series, we're burning through a lot of titles and stuff to watch them, so maybe when we come back, if we even leave at all, we're hoping that they can put off cutting off the internet. We're definitely going to have some reviews on some animes to maybe help or suggest something for forward.
No, I know a lot of anime. I'm pretty sure I know more anime.
Oh, probably.
So, I was just thinking of what kind of manga do you think would be good for something, for your book or webcomic would be good to become anime.
So. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's definitely a good... Yeah, that, okay, now I get it. Don't mind me being an idiot.
And about that, I'm pretty sure there's manga that I would love to have from anime series.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that not many people would love it, though. It's called Kurosaki... It's just about group of people that can talk, find, and deliver a dead body, and they deliver the dead body and take their belonging while they're living as a payment.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really good book or manga, because there's all these good storylines, there's backstories, everything, but I wish not many people like it, because there's a lot of blood, dead people in it, of course, and nudity. But that's exactly the reason why I like it.
Yeah. For me, I'm more of like a morbid person. Like I said, Letter B is kind of depressing, and I like it because it's depressing, which is kind of odd.
You're depressing, I'm just kidding.
Thank you.
Anyway. Does anyone else have anything to add on the topic?
Nope.
Nope.
Okay.
There should be ultimate Pokemon.
Oh, God. But, okay, I guess, we will move on to topic four. Something from popular media.
Hmm.
Or just, like, something popular right now.
Well, pretty much we just talked about anime.
Well, yeah.
But that's not popular, like, over the people. If you talk to someone, hey, do you know this anime? They're going to be like, what?
Yeah.
But, yeah, yeah. I talked to a 7-year-old person. Oh, yeah.
You can just go to some random person and say, hey, do you know Twilight? And they'll be like, oh, yeah, I know Twilight.
Oh, God, Twilight.
I'm going to go up to some random 70-year-old person and ask him, hey, what did you think about that episode of Helsing? Oh yeah, that's so awesome! And then they open their flannel shirt, and they got like a Helsing t-shirt.
Ha. See, I still watched like AMVs of Helsing, and that's what made me like fall in love with guns with extended barrels, I guess revolvers or whatnot. That's what made me fall in love with those style of guns.
Oh. Let's see, something in the media. Well, what about the Olympics? That's pretty big.
Yes, well, yeah. That is.
Good suggestion. You know,
I don't know what to talk about it, but...
I haven't been... Oddly enough, I'm a Canadian, and yet I have not been following the Olympics. But I do remember when I went to my dad's place, I was told they actually had this on the Olympics channel that 94% of Canadians were tuned in watching the Olympics. 94%.
Wow.
Even the hobos on the street.
Oh, exactly. God. That's
they
what
had, they were all giving portable TVs for
exactly.
that.
Exactly. I'm surprised by that. Like, you hear about how bad, like, poverty and stuff, and then it's like 94%. It's like, wow. That's a lot of people. These statistics are lying to us, man.
Well, you guys got more pride than we do.
Yeah.
Well, obviously. You all know 6% of the population dies from toilets.
Yeah. Also, apparently they raised like 2.5 million. They raised like, or was it 24 million? They raised a ridiculous large amount of money selling those mittens that had the Canadian, that had the maple leaf with the Olympic symbol on it. They sold so many of those. So many Canadians have bought it. It made like a ridiculously large amount of money.
Well, if they did that in America, we'd be like, oh, we can't afford that right now. How the economy is.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be like, they'll be like recession mittens or something.
Yeah,
they're made of like burlap sacks.
Yeah, like a lot of the people probably listening to this are most likely American, but also here they had actually stopped selling them for 2 months or something in the stores. And you go to eBay, you could buy a pair of those $10 mittens for like $250 on eBay.
Do you know why?
Why?
Because they're stocking up because they know the end of the world is coming because it's going to be so cold.
Exactly.
You're going to make sweaters out of them.
Yeah, well, going back to the Olympics topic. So, do any of you actually watch any of the Olympics?
Well, I haven't. I just know that hockey, we beat the Canadians.
I
heard a lot about the there was a specific hockey match in between Canada and America in which the Americans won, which was very, very unusual, I think. And like, and there was this big uproar about it, or at least from what I heard.
Yeah.
Because Canadians are supposed to be good at hockey. Yeah, if we beat you like curling, that would be ridiculous.
See, curling. Oh, I love curling. Me and Dre, we were actually talking about that on the way back when we were walking one time. And we're saying, you know, I think they said our team was like a five-year, like, gold medalist or something. It was like for 5 years or something they had held like the gold medal, I don't know, I'm sorry if that's wrong information. And it's like, so we lost one game, you know what, it's bound to happen at some point, you can't be perfect, so we should accept it.
No, you should.
Yeah, if we're getting upset about it, it's like, come on, you're trying to say that like you're better than everybody else, you got Canadian pride, sure, but don't go over the top, right?
I was gonna say, don't go over the top unless you're pole vaulting.
Yes, that's
good. Yes, please go over the top.
please do that. Woohoo! Go, everybody. What was it? When I had watched the Olympics, I had watched I'm horrible with names. I watched the Canadian guy win the skeleton, the like toboggan face first with your like face an inch away from the ice.
Oh, the
he fought a skeleton.
Oh, the luge. That's what it was. It's a luge, right? Or skiing or the luge? I don't know.
Yeah, as Frank said, he's like, I would like to suggest a new Olympic event. Skiing, pole jumping. So I guess that's like a combination of skiing and pole vaulting all at the same time.
Skydiving, no parachuting.
Whoever splats the biggest win.
Oh, God, you just see like a bunch of fat people apply.
We'll get the helicopter to fly then.
You're too heavy, we can't fly. The only requirements are they have to be within the weight limit of the plane.
and you know what's even funnier? Is you find out it's like one of the like military style of planes. Those things like carry freaking two tanks at a time. It's like one of those sort of planes.
You see him push out a guy out of the plane, and then you see, like, fire catch on him because he has such a gravitational pull that causes his own flames. And when he hits the ground, you see a long-distance shot. People put goggles on, and it goes... It's a big old mushroom cloud.
Ouch.
That's how Fallout 3 got started.
Okay.
They tried to implement that in the Olympics. Go too well, did it?
Well.
Holy crap.
Fat man and little boy.
Okay, going back to the topic. Going back to the topic, guys.
One more comment,
okay.
I was gonna say, it's politically incorrect to push a little boy out of a plane, but you push a fat man.
Oh.
Okay, now going back to the Olympics, you know what we need more of in the Olympics?
What would that be?
We have enough snowboarding, we have enough hockey, we need more curling.
Oh, thank you.
See more badass curling going on here. I don't know, dress the women up in skanky outfits or something going on.
We need more women smoking cigars.
See, I love curling. Curling is a good sport. I've heard, like, on YouTube, a lot of people have said curling is a stupid sport, and they're surprised that's even in the Olympics. But of all things, that's one of the few things I would turn on the Olympics for. Like, I don't watch TV that much, but I love curling.
Well, Trent, that's like, you know, they can express their opinion just fine, you know, about their sport, but there's some people who like it. Like, you know, I can say my opinion that, like, I think golf is a stupid sport, and a lot of people, they like say, hey, golf is great, and all that stuff. And, you know, I don't really like golf because I don't see a point of hitting the ball and trying to get in a tiny hole.
Same with
chasing it around. But, you know, some people like that sort of thing, you know?
I know, that's why I'm not going to say, you know, you're stupid for believing that. That's why I'm not saying that. Like, everybody's entitled to their opinion.
I just think curling's cool because, like, I would love to get on that ice and just, like, jump on it and go, whee!
Exactly. Plus, people don't realize that also you do have to be, like, you do have to train for that. You do have to be physically fit.
Oh, yeah. Really hard.
Mm-hmm. Huh. I mean, I see those people sweating when they do that stuff.
Oh, yeah. You need a lot of concentration, too.
And, you know, that's, like... Whenever I look at the little curling thing, what's that thing called? Is it just called the curl, or?
They call it a rock. They basically call it, like, you need to get, like, one more rock in the center. They do that sort of, I guess it's that.
Every time I look at that thing, I think of Cream Savers. Because it looks like candy! I want Cream Savers whenever I look at that thing. But, yeah, that's just me, mouse watering now, thanks. Right,
I actually think the best part of the Olympics, I mean, even though, like, you've got all the sports and everything, is actually the opening ceremony. I really think that, like, all the art and everything they've gotten there is just, it's amazing what they do. Like, I just think how lucky you would be to be the one person, like, who's, like, tied up to, like, these thin lines and then, like, fly around the stadium at the very beginning. That would be just so awesome.
That would be awesome. I mean, China did a good job on theirs, too.
Yeah, with the drums and everything at the beginning.
And the guy riding the bicycle around the arena.
Yeah.
It's like around the edge of it, like at the on the ceiling, and I thought that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was amazing.
They just needed a clown, and it would have been perfect. That would have been awesome. It's like just one lone clown. Like, if I ever hosted the Olympics, I'd just have one clown. That would be my opening ceremony. But, Melanie, you have anything you want to add about the Olympics?
But don't shh anyone. I don't think she can talk.
I don't.
Okay, Fred, right. You have anything to add about the Olympics? Melanie's dropping a lot because of her online, like her net is kind of acting retarded. Like this, like kind of like how mine is. I know the frustration. But all right, well, we'll move on to the next topic. And there she goes again. Man, I feel bad for her.
Yeah.
She
hasn't been able to talk that much because of it.
Well. Alright, let's move on to Trent's movie and game reviews.
Ooh.
He has to do the game reviews because basically Dre's not there.
Yeah. So,
take it away.
My movie review, today shall be on a movie called Gabriel. It's like a general good versus evil sort of thing. It's about, heaven versus hell with, the archangels. There's seven of them. I can't really recall the names. It doesn't really matter. Okay, and I have a 2 to 3 minute limit, so I shall try not to dwell too much on this. Good versus evil sort of thing. It's that sort of plot is common in a lot of movies, but it's the fact that it's actually specifically with the angels. They have Gabriel, obviously the main character, and the storyline to it is heaven and hell sends off an angel to purgatory, so in that way it judges who has control over the souls in purgatory because they haven't been judged yet. So heaven and hell will send off an angel. Whoever wins that battle will stay there, and they'll judge, and they'll be able to stay there, keeping under control until the next angels come by. And then it's the same thing. Whoever wins gets to claim control. Anyways, Gabriel's the last one and has to go up against 7+ angels. Fallen angels, as they call them. And the graphics to it, it doesn't really dwell that much on visual effects, like computer-generated images and stuff. And the few that it does use, I think, suits the movie. Some people would say it's not as good of a movie because it's not all flashy with cinematics, but I like it. I like the storyline because I like the whole idea of, like, putting in, like, biblical names and stuff, having it actually relevant to this sort of thing. Looking further into it as well, going online, apparently they have an actual website for the movie. Apparently it's part of a trilogy, so that's another good thing for anybody out there. It definitely has a twist ending for those who enjoy that sort of thing. It has a very good twist ending, which I find is another bonus to it, which I like, because I like something that plays opposite of the direction of what somebody would expect from that sort of movie. And on a scale of rent or buy, I myself have seen the movie 3 times, and I'm still like willing to watch it again, so I would recommend it as at least a rent, a buy if you wish. It's definitely something to add into a good kind of action, supernatural sort of movie collection if you have that going on. At least that's my view on it again. You can go for a second opinion on that. And that's about all I have for it. It's overall, I like it. As I've mentioned clearly before. Okay, and that's right. Game review. This game review came from Frag, correct? Because Dre is currently incapable of doing the review. So, okay. Yeah, I'm going to read what Frag has sent me for his review on Mass Effect 2. Okay, so now I'm just reading what he has put up. Mass Effect 2 is the sequel I'm horribly butchering this already. Mass Effect 2 is the sequel to one of my favorite games of the past few years, Mass Effect. Now, for those who don't know what Mass Effect is, imagine a Star Trek-like experience where you go and explore the galaxy with an action-packed story and an RPG action mixed with a shooter. You have not played if you haven't played the first one, you'll be able to visit the story of the first game at the beginning of the second, and you'll be able to make your choices there throughout the storyline. To start with Mass Effect 2, they address the complaints of some of the fans for the first game, but unfortunately they failed horribly. With the first game, there was no ammo, but your weapons could overheat if you use them enough, which is a good thing, because that also ties in like with your tactics. Fair, that was my little bit right there. With Mass Effect 2, there is ammo, and the action is more streamlined. So much streamlined that the action feels almost the same with every firefight. Sure, you can probably diversify between each enemy, but to me it was guys with one, two, or three health bars, or small mech-like robot which takes a while to kill. They also took out all the drops in the game for killing enemies, and now you have to find guns that are hidden throughout the stages. What made the original game so good is the ability to find new weapons throughout the whole game and the ability to mod them with a wide variety of ammos and mods. Now, unfortunately, you can only upgrade your class of weapons with small upgrades like more power, and that's pretty much it. They replaced the vehicle portion of the last game with mining in this game. This is basically rotating around the planet until you find minerals, pressing a button to launch a probe and get minerals. It gets pretty boring and tedious after a while. Every planet in the game, unless it's really a main story planet, has mining, unlike Mass Effect 1, where you could actually go and explore some random planets. You're pretty much forced to go mine, since every upgrade takes minerals. They took out most of the RPG elements and the ability to choose your skills. And the ability to choose your skills has been severely reduced. There is really less strategy involved in building a character, and well, since every action sequence is the same thing, it really won't all that matter too much. Also, the game takes forever to switch weapons, and there are times, quote, I will not switch weapons, even though it would be optimal because it takes way too long. Now this game, however, does continue with the epic storyline of the first. I don't want to spoil any of it for you guys, but the best part of this game is your choices and actions affect not only how the game plays, but even how the next game in the series, Mass Effect 3, will play out. Plus, the voice actor list for this game is incredible, with over 90 voice actors from Martin Sheen to Seth Green and more, and it's very well done. So, in short, while Mass Effect 2 does not live up to its predecessor, it is still better than about every third-person shooter on the 360. And yes, I like it better than Gears of War. Overall, I would rate it a 7 out of 10 for having a really amazing story and gameplay that is predictable, but there is no major bugs or problems with the game. So I recommend you buy it at a $19.99 price. Unless you love the story, which I would say buy it now. And that is Frag's review on Mass Effect 2.
Cool.
Yep. Time for Forward's review now.
Mm-hmm. Alright, so my review is pretty broad. It goes to almost every game nowadays. How it's fairly challenging. Nowadays, I play every game that I ever get on Steam or any kind of console. I play on the hardest difficulty, and I can beat it just by dying just once. Like in Bioshock 2, I'm playing in the hard mode. I only use a drill, and only die once. And compared to that, the games a long time ago, like for example, Pac-Man, if you don't have skills, you will die the very first level. And there are no difficulty settings. So that's all easy, medium, and hard. And for probably Resident Evil 1, if you chose the hardest difficulty, you have to actually go through the game without shooting zombies as much as possible, or else you would never beat the game. Compared to Resident Evil 5, where it's just like an action game now, where you kill someone, you get the bullet, you just keep on shooting for the whole entire time. And for Final Fantasy 1, 2, 3, all the way to, I don't know, 9, 10, was good and challenging until it got to 12 and 13. And 11 doesn't count because we all know that's an MMORPG. And so overall rating I give now the games nowadays is about a 6 or 7. Because they're also predictable, like probably what Craig said. And also that they're too easy. They should make a game that's really hard sometimes. I mean, granted, Halo 3 on Legendary, that was really, really hard. There's sometimes games like that.
Yeah.
And I enjoy those kind of games that's really hard. You actually need to think of a strategy. You got that millions of times to finally get past it. You have the feeling of accomplishment. But nowadays, you don't. You just go out there, just kill, or do whatever you do, and just beat it. Like for Dragon Age Origins, I play on the hardest difficulty. I take off. My guy is naked. He only has a pant, underwear, and he fights with a bare fist, and I beat the game. And I think that's saying something.
Alright, hey Trent.
Mm-hmm.
You wanna narrate what Ford said?
Okay, and to read what Frag said, to Ford, I totally agree 100%. Most games I play nowadays are easy as hell. When Mega Man 9 came out, I seen all these people whine about how hard it is, and they can't beat it. They just can't play hard games anymore.
And so you have something to add to?
Well, I don't know. It's just Mega Man 9 was one of my favorites. I don't know. It's just it was hard, but that's what made it so great was the challenge. It's just, you know, there's always this one part where something gets you, and you have to just work at it to get around it, and that's what elongates the playtime.
Yeah.
And makes it more fun.
The stupid little Reploids with the little helmets that shoot little ball things at you.
Yeah,
I hate
that. Yeah. What are they called? Knee tools.
Yeah, metals. I hate those things. They reflect anything.
Yeah, right on the edge of the corner that you have to jump on. It hits you, you fall off, you go into the spikes, the end.
It's like the always present, like, easy to kill, but still kills you, Goomba.
Yeah. And then they had those ones that were, like, disguised as lives, so you never knew.
Any touchment, they would flip out and, ooh, pew, 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 pew.
That reminds me, there's, I had seen this video on YouTube, don't know what game it is, but it was actually the hardest boss, like, out of all the games ever made, and it just spams the whole screen with gunfire, and you actually have to guide your little tiny ship in between the bullets, and all you actually see is just this, like, basically ocean of purple dots as it shoots at you continuously.
I know what game you're talking about.
Yeah, I've seen that.
It's a Japanese game where you're like this girl flying around with this little mech, and you have to shoot bullets at the enemies. It's basically one of those, like, flying games, like,
the ones that you find at the arcade.
It's like the gunship games.
Yeah. And
kind of like Raiden.
Yeah, and the last thing in it, the last boss was like this giant golden mech or something. A giant, like, golden ship that's just firing nonstop.
I fought her and quit because, like, number one, unless you know the exact pattern you're supposed to go in to go between the bullets, you'll die instantly.
Yeah.
And her health is unbelievably long. It goes all the way across the screen.
Yeah.
And if you get her down a certain amount of health, she spams faster.
Yeah. That reminds me, after I'm going to mention another game.
Okay, after you mentioned that, like, I wanted to review a little game too, but, like, it was just going to be like a, like, couple minutes, just like 2 minutes of me talking about one game. I feel that it wasn't really, like, advertised at all.
Okay.
No More Heroes 2.
Oh.
Okay.
I think that game had absolutely, like, it had no advertising, in my opinion. Awesome game. Character creation was flawless, in my opinion, because they're so unique. And they had recurring characters in it. And, No More Heroes, in my opinion, was an awesome game because, number one, the mini games were all NES style. And basically you get like a little Travis touchdown sprite and you complete the mini games, you get money, and you can upgrade your beam katana and get new clothes and stuff. Then you can fight the assassins and work your way up the ranks, which each assassin is progressively harder and harder and harder. And then, like, what's cool is what brought this up was Trent talking about that game, that Raiden-esque game.
Mm-hmm.
Is actually a game that you play on his Xbox 360 he has in his room. You can sit down and play the game.
That's awesome.
And the game is so pervy. Seriously, that game is so pervy. And it has a lot of great points in it. And the storyline is really good, in my opinion. It's even though it's kind of simple, I want to get revenge for y'all killing my friend, so I'm going to come out of retirement as an assassin to revenge my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just a great story. Yeah, that's my 2 cents on it.
Cool.
There was I have one game review, and this is definitely a difficult thing for some bosses, like, because unlike most RPG style games where you'll go to fight the final boss and he'll be level 60 and you're like, yeah, I just spent my like 6 hours of my life grinding at a level 80 area, so I'm gonna be able to kick your ass no problem. Unlike that sort of boss, in Grandia 3, everything is proportionate. So unlike some RPG games where you'll go into a dungeon and you'll be level 10 and the monsters around you will be like level 15, so you'll stay in there and you'll kill those things until you're level 25 And then you go on to the next area, and it's like, yeah, these monsters are only level, like, 20. You'll kick their ass, no problem. Unlike that, Grandia 3 is completely proportionate. Whatever level your guy is, the monsters in the next area will be stronger than you. So it's always continuously giving you a challenge. And if you go on YouTube, you'll actually find videos of people fighting the last boss, whatever he is, giant, like, shadow bird thing. These people are going in fighting this boss with level 99 characters. All four or five characters are level 99, and it still took the guy half an hour to beat this boss. And he's doing, like, when you actually look at his health in the beginning, it's like 260-something thousand damage. And this guy's characters are only doing 600 damage each for every, like, sword swing, and it's taking forever. It took him half an hour to beat him. And it's certainly a difficult game to beat from what I've heard, like, if you have the time and patience for it. So I recommend that's a good game if you want a really good challenge. It's for the PS2. It's called Grandia 3. The third, like, whatever you want to call it. It's kind of like a Final Fantasy sort of thing. It's the third one of my favorite game, which is the first Grandia game. Oh, I love that. And that's my review.
All right, well, cool. Yeah, let's...
Is Melanie able to go now?
Let's see.
No, she can't.
So do you guys want to move on to the random topic, or does anyone else have something to say on the reviews and stuff?
You can move on to the random if you want.
Are you sure?
I don't know how long the podcast has been going for now.
Yeah, we've been going for a while.
Alright, well, I guess any closing notes or a random topic or anything you guys want to talk about, really?
We come up with a new, the closing word.
Yeah, we do, really.
Yeah.
We'll think about it later.
Have a good theme song.
The only thing that stays fluffy is a furry. I don't know.
It's like, we're all animals, how can we talk? How is this even be a furry talk? Just kidding. But,
it's just a farmhouse.
we don't have any bovines here.
No.
No.
But,
Cha-cha!
I guess...
Cha-cha,
I think that Cy would probably be the only one who can talk out of us.
Well, kind of talk. Not exactly. Yeah.
Well, you'll be able to form a word.
At least you can say a word.
Well, the only thing that I'll be able to do is scream, because rabbits just scream when they're scared. And, I guess if you guys want to end, we can. we're all kind of melancholy.
Yeah.
I guess Josh is AFK right now.
Yeah.
Is he? Oh.
Okay,
no,
he's here.
Oh, hi. Do you want to move on to random, or should we end it here?
Up to us.
And then if we make the wrong decision, he'll kill us.
He'll be like, "All right, guys, let's play a game. I'll think of a number between 1 and 10.
11. Wrong.
Dies.
Yeah, whoever gets the closest dies.
11. The number was 10. It's like 11. That is all I can think about. I'll kill you.
Yeah, I got, from what I've been able to count out, we've been going for about around an hour, so.
Yeah, like, that's about how long we've
been going. Yeah, we start at like 9:48 my time, so.
Well, I guess we won't have that. Huh.
Whenever we're all open for like a whole day, we should do 24-hour podcasts.
Oh, God! No tie breaks, no washing breaks.
I would die. Well, it wouldn't really matter to me.
I need to go to the bathroom.
Well,
I know.
Living thing. God. I can dispose of my bad stuff.
Just yell from the bathroom.
That's a problem for me. My washroom is upstairs. Okay, sorry. This is going like into a random talk.
Mine's just right across the hallway. I'd just be like, "What I think about this topic?" You know.
Yeah.
Did someone say something? I'd be like, what? I can't hear you.
Can you talk louder?
Ooh, one thing that I can mention, though. Me and Dre, depending on how this whole money thing goes, we might be able to go to Fernal Equinox. So if any Canadian listeners are out there, keep an eye out for me and Dre walking around. Maybe. We don't know just yet. Depending on how this whole money problem goes.
Yeah, Dre needs to get on the ball.
Get on the ball.
Get on the ball.
Yeah, the bouncing
ball. Are you on the ball?
Dragging the line, dragging the line. I'm just kidding.
Da-da-da-da. Okay.
All right. So, well, we're going random, so.
Yeah, I was about to say, but this has already reached like an hour and 5 minutes.
Yeah, and then if you go over an hour in a podcast, you have to pay $1 million. I'm just kidding.
$1 million.
Oh yeah. I'm sorry. $2 million. I'm just kidding.
So yeah, I guess that's the end of the podcast then.
All right. Well, we're not gonna have like an ending quote because we're still thinking of ours, but we'll all just have a group. Everybody say goodbye and good night for now.
Good night. Unfortunately, Melanie can't say good night, so we're gonna everybody wants to speak on behalf of her. Good night.
Yeah. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, all.